All right, let's pray and then we'll jump in this on tonight. Keep in mind. Let's pray. Father God, we just honor you most of all, and we praise you for who you are. We thank you just for your presence. Right now, we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. You know, we just thank you for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All right. There has been a rumor, a saying, basically, that you hear people in the so-called body of Christ say quite a bit, and that saying is basically once saved, always saved. And so what we're going to do on tonight, we're going to look at some scriptures and allow the scriptures to answer that question. And I just believe after tonight, we as a ministry, as the saints, will have a full understanding of why we have to be cautious about saying certain things that doesn't line up with the scriptures. So we'll jump into this. We'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 really answers this question. And so, but we have to lay the foundation in order to see it. And from how the Spirit will lead us to lay it, the foundation, it will make it all the more important for us to understand that we have to learn, we have to study, we have to know the so-called Old Testament, because in doing so, it gives a lot of foreshadows of some things, so that when we get over in the New Testament, those things that we read in the New Testament, we'll see it clearly because of the foreshadowings or the scriptures that is revealed before we get to these particular books. And so 1 Corinthians is one such book, 1 Corinthians 10. And so we'll look at it, and then we'll move around. We'll pull up a few other Bibles just to take a look at this to make sure that we're all on the same page. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that rock, of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, we're gonna look at some things that's contained in 1 through 4 And then once we understand 1 through 4, then we'll move in 5 and just keep going and see clearly what the scripture is revealing to us. We have the Corinthians here who thought the same thoughts that people do on today. The Corinthians believed that because they were saved, because they had accepted Christ, so I'll say it that way, because that's the traditional mindset of what saved is. Because they had accepted Christ, because they were baptized in water, also because they are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Yah, that it now sealed their salvation and thus the term once saved, always saved. It's like, okay, when I get to this point, there's no way I can lose it. You know, once saved, always saved. Well, again, we'll look at some things. I'll pull up another Bible here and we'll just break down these verses now. Now, first of all, when we look at it, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud." Okay, so now we have to see what it means when it's talking about our fathers being under the cloud. So we'll move to Exodus 13 and let me see. Is it 13? No, 14. Exodus 14. Well, let me just type it in. Huh? Is it? You could be right. Let me see. Yep, you're correct. You're correct. I don't know why I put 7. You are correct. So Exodus 13:21 instead of 7. Well, matter of fact, I see why I did it. Start at verse 19 is where I want to start. So Exodus 13 verse 19. And again, to the right of the screen, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud." Well, he's referring to Exodus 13 starting at verse 19. It said, "Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, Yah will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with thee. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And Yah went before them by day in the pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light and to go by day and night." Verse 22 saying, "He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So this is what Paul is referring to when he's talking about the cloud in verse 1. Then he says, "And all passed through the sea." And that's Exodus 14, verse 19. We'll start at verse 19, I guess. Yeah, Exodus 14, verse 19. It says, "And the angel of Yah, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud. It was a cloud in darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, to Israel. So it was the night they went on the backside of that cloud, and day in, on Israel's side, so that one came not near the other all the night. Verse 21 said, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Well, the scripture points out that the water congealed, so it's like it turned into ice. Okay, and so the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea up on dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left, and on the left side, okay, and on the left. Now, and so as we see this, we know the story, but I'm just pointing out where Paul is talking, these things he's mentioning, so that we'll know what he's leading to. So he says, as we looked at Exodus 13 and Exodus 14, then to the right of the screen, moreover, brethren, I will not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. We saw that, Exodus 13, and all passed through the sea. We see it, Exodus 14, here to the left of the screen. And were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So this was a baptismal. It's saying, and were all baptized. And so when we look at the word, just to deal with the definition of the word, when you look at the word baptize, it says to immerse, submerge. Okay? So under that cloud, it showed that we were submerged. We were immersed as a nation, a people. When we went into that, the sea on dry ground, we were immersed. That's what the scripture is pointing out. So we were baptized, okay? Verse 2, and we're all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's baptism. So he's showing a leading into what is taking place in the New Testament, okay? So that's why it's vitally important to understand what Yah did with Israel, because you see him doing the same thing with the church and the new, okay? That's why I tell people all the time, Israel don't join the church join Israel. All these things he done, and that's what Romans 11 talks about. And so then it says, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. And that's found in Exodus 16. We'll look at it. Exodus 16, we'll start at verse 1. It says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So when you look at congregation, this is first church. This is your first church. Israel is the first church. Okay? And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto him, would to Yah that we had died in the hand of Yah in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly. Church, it's church. With hunger. Then said Yah unto Moses, Behold, I will make rain. I will make rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So all did eat the same spiritual meat. It wasn't one Israelite who ate it and another one didn't. All Israel ate it. All Israel were baptized under the cloud and also in the sea. All ate the spiritual bread, which is the manna. Okay? Then he goes on and said, all did drink the same drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Now, as we look at it, he's talking about a spiritual rock, but we want to look at where he's referring to. So it's Exodus 17. Exodus 17 verse 1 said, all the congregation, to level the screen, verse 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness to Sin. After their journeys according to the commandments of Yah, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. We were some of the complainest folks you ever want to see. And when he gathered us again, we're going to be out there in them wilderness complaining again. Pook and them going to be mad because they're going to be snatching all that hair and stuff off their head. And they ain't going to be able to eat them chitlins and hog maws and all that. And they're going to be out there saying, man, what we had been left in America.
Eat their lobster and
steak. There you go. There you go. There you go. It's going to repeat itself. That's why I be saying to us as a nation now, I be like, we better get ready now, because when Yah gathers as a nation, the scripture say he's going to make us pass under the rod of that covenant. Everything that you see we had to do here, he's going to make us do it again. Okay? Now it says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Yah did all that. Brought us out of Egypt. Opened the Red Sea. Manna from heaven. All this stuff. And we still.
Y'all in the cloud.
In the cloud. Right over the head.
And we complaining to Moses. But Moses is like, what you talking to me for?
He ran up there.
And just like God giving us all this stuff, like bread and food.
And yes,
food.
Yes.
You can't give me no salt.
Yeah.
You know?
Like yes. Kids.
Yes. Yeah, we something else as a people, I'm telling y'all, man. When you get to reading this stuff, you know ain't no doubt. Yeah. That is Israel. We are Israel, man.
That's true. This past time when I read it, and I had the full understanding, I'm looking at us like, we were something else. Like,
now, verse 3, he said, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto Yah, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. They ready to kill it. Verse 5. And Yah said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord. Yah saying, is Yah among us or not? He read over the head. Is he among us or not? Now, when we move now, we good? You think?
I mean, just one comment. I mean, it's kind of like the same understanding I guess we got to come to these days. Like, you know, y'all with us and stuff don't go wrong, don't go right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. You know, God must not be with me because, you know, things ain't going good or whatever. You know, I'm struggling or things ain't happening the way I want. Good. God must not be with me.
Mm-hmm. And then the answer of why we go through these things is in the same verse where he said, where he goes on and said, Yah says it. I'm trying to remember, see what verse it is where Yah said, okay, I'm going to see if these people will obey me. Is it in this one here? And Moses cried. Or it must have been one of the other books where I read it.
Yeah,
I think it's in one of the other books we read it. And so as we see these three, three books or so we looked at, now we with this understanding, when we move back to 1 Corinthians 10 now, we'll start at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud. We just read it. And all passed through the sea. We just read it. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We read it. Confirmation. And all did eat the spiritual, that same spiritual meat, the manna, the bread from heaven. Okay. Verse 4. And did all drink of the same spiritual drink, that rock. Water from the rock. For they drank of the spiritual rock. It was foreshadowing. All this was foreshadowing for us to be dealt with as the body of Christ when we get on in 1 Corinthians 10. Foreshadowing now. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them, Yah was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. All of them were baptized. All of them drank of the spiritual drink, the rock, the spiritual meat, the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven. All were under the cloud. All were baptized in the sea. All Israel. But the scripture goes on and said, but still, some of them didn't cross over. This is foreshadowing now. Now, as we continue on, it says, but with many of them, verse 5, Yah was not well pleased. Why? Letting us know why he wasn't pleased. Okay? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Okay? It was things that they were doing that made Yah say, you're not crossing over into the promised land. I brought you out. You're my chosen people. You benefited from all the things that I set up for you as a nation. But still, some of you didn't get to cross over. All of you started out with the same benefit. All of you drunk of that spiritual drink. Like all Christians drink of that spiritual drink. Come to me, all you that are thirsty, and come, what is it? I'll out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He shall, John 4, let me just go there. Let me just go there and show you what Christ said. John 4, this woman is drawing water out at this well. Jesus is with the Samaritan. So John 4, verse 13, he says, Yehoshua answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the water from that well. Verse 14, he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So when you look at, or when we look at 1 Corinthians 10, it is pointed out in verse 4, all did drink that same spiritual drink, what Christ is talking about in John 4. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ said, take this, you'll never thirst again. But he goes on and said, even though all of them foreshadowed and did that very thing that foreshadowed what Christ was and all the things that foreshadowed the spiritual baptism and all the things that went with, you know, things that manifested in the New Testament, he said, you got to understand the point. They all had a benefit in the old, but they didn't all cross over. Verse 5. I'm going to get out of John 4. Verse 5. But with many of them, Yah was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things are examples. Yah said, through Paul, he said, I gave you that to go back and read. As examples to show that, hey, let me just let the scripture say it. Verse 6. Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust for evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Remember Moses goes up in the mountain to pray? And they get Aaron to make that golden calf, and they rose up to play and start doing all these different things, idol worshiping, and all these things while Moses was right up in that mountain praying. And so the scriptures pointed out that all these things were shown to us and put there for an example for us to see that although all of them, somebody, they had the spiritual rock, they had the baptism. Baptism under the cloud, baptism into the body, baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism water, symbolic water, cloud, symbolic the Spirit. All of them foreshadowing, showing that just because you or we have these different things doesn't mean that we got a guarantee to get out of that wilderness. This is the modern day wilderness that all the saints are walking in. And depending on how we handle ourselves in that wilderness is going to be the determining factor of how we're going to cross over into the everlasting life. That's why he's letting us know these things are put here as an example. So when a person said, once saved, always saved, then they think he gives them a license to go out and rise up and play. And do all these other things that the scriptures pointed out. Being an idolater. They can do all these different things that we're reading about and still say, my salvation is good. Because remember, Jesus died for my sins. Well, the scripture points out that you can drink that spiritual rock. You can drink from that spiritual rock and you can still turn around and not cross over and get out of that building. So what it lets us know is that in order for us to get to the end result of life everlasting, we got to drink that spiritual rock. We got to pass under that cloud. We got to pass through that baptismal in the sea. We got to eat that manna. Christ said, "This is my body. Eat." The blood is the testament of the new covenant. Drink. We got to do all those different things, and we got to continue in. We can't turn around now and walk up to an altar and get water baptized and then start speaking in tongues and, you know, be filled with the Spirit and all these other things. Be like, okay, I'm good now. I can go sit down and relax. This is put in this book for our example to let us know that none of us is guaranteed, although all of us may be experiencing the same thing that got us to this point. Now we understand why Paul said, "Woe to me if I preach this gospel and I myself become a castaway." Because Paul understood that I can, although I've gone under the spiritual cloud, although I've gone under the spiritual water, although I've taken a drink of the spiritual water and gone immersed through the sea and all these different things, spiritual, pointing out all the work that you know, foreshadowing and pointing out, showing us all the things that Christ has done for us by the leading of his Father Yah. Paul is saying, I still can become a castaway if I don't continue. Just because I believe in Jesus is not a pass to heaven free card. Because we have an example to know that all Israel came out of Egypt. But yet, Yah said, you know what? These people are stiff-necked, rebellious people. Everybody that's what is it, 20 years and over, didn't cross over. That's right. Wonderful thing about it is verse 6. He said, now these things were our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. All these things were foreshadowing of what the church should and shouldn't do. Should and should not do. And so here you have someone who think that they can live for Christ and then turn around, you know, and then turn around and disobey what the scripture says. All these are foreshadowings, okay? It says, neither murmur ye, verse 10, as some of them also murmured. Man, life is hard. Oh, man, y'all don't love me. If he loved me, he wouldn't let me go through this. Look how such and such is doing. They ain't got to go through all this stuff. Seems like every time I look around, I'm going through something. Ain't nobody else going through nothing. Murmuring, you know what happened to the Israelites, our ancestors, who was doing all that murmuring and complaining? All those examples. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. What is admonition is? Huh. Admonition. All these are written for our attention, our warning.
Admonition.
Huh?
Admonition.
Verse 11. They were written to warn us. So when you hear somebody say, no, man, once saved, always saved, you better go to 1 Corinthians 10 and stay there for a while. verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, warning, upon whom the ends of this world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. All these self-righteous folks running around here talking about everybody that's going to hell, you better watch it. They ain't saved. You better watch it. They ain't living right. You better watch it. I'm glad I'm not like them. I don't hang around with them sinner folks. You better watch it. We better watch how we think about ourselves. You know, I have to say this, y'all. I'm the preacher, and I wake up on a daily basis and say, y'all, am I good? I ain't impressed with me. To the point where I say, I got it made, man. Y'all see, I be preaching that Bible, man. Y'all know I'm going to heaven. Oh, no, heck no. Each day I wake up and work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And someday I may wake up and I may fall short that particular day. So I'm always working on it. The minute you think you arrive, take heed to the warning. Because anybody who think they have a ride, I guarantee you, you're on your way to a fall. Well, I said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. 13, there has no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But Yah is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make it a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What this points out is that Yah is always looking out for us. But just because he's looking out for us don't mean that we still can't go down that road. Because we have our own conscious choice to do so. Y'all know, you know, maybe some just learning to quit calling them something said. Something told me not to do that. You know who it was. Something told me to do it. You know who it was. Either way. Scripture said when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. So every time I sin, I know who did it. I made a choice. I didn't say the devil made me do it. That's demon possessed. We need to get you on off and cast that thing out of you if he's making you do it. So what Yah lets us know in verse 13 is that he loves us so much that as we continue to strive toward perfection on a daily basis, he's always providing ways for us to be able to do that. Even when we make mistakes, even when we fall short, he's always making doors and ways for us to stay on the right track. But there are some people who are just like our nation when our nation was in the wilderness. They ain't gonna never stop complaining. They ain't gonna never stop doing the things that they do. Some people just do what they do. And they ain't gonna stop. They don't wanna stop. Y'all said those kind of people is going to get the same results that the nation of Israel got. That's why Paul even warned the church in the book of Romans. Romans 11, he said, now instead of you boasting about your position, he said, you should just thank God that you've been made a part of it. You're not the root, you're the root V. You've been made a part of something. The church is not Israel. You've been made a part of something that Israel is Israel that was given to Israel initially. So that's what Romans 11 by. He said the gifts and callings of Yah without repentance. The nation of Israel is going to be who I called them to be. But there's a remnant because there's a whole bunch of them that ain't going to want to benefit from the privilege that Yah has given us as a people. So next time you hear somebody say, no, once saved, always saved, you said, go spend you about an hour or two in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, then come back and say that. Verse 14 said, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry, because the Corinthians had accepted Christ. They had accepted Christ and all the things that went along with it, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, everything that went along with the religious perspective. They were doing all those things. That's why I call it the religious perspective. They were doing all those things, but they were still committing idolatry. They wanted to worship Yah and their idols. Verse 15, he said, I speak as the wise men. Judge ye what I say. He said, you know, I'm telling y'all the truth. Y'all not stupid. He said, judge what I say. What are you saying to him? Verse 16, he said, a cup of blessing which we bless, it is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. Wait a minute, I said it wrong. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? I was saying it's not. He's asking the question. The cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? He's tying it all together now. That spiritual drink you drank, okay, the communion that we have nowadays, is that not symbolic, showing the foreshadowing or what has taken place as far as Christ is concerned? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? He starts tying it all together. And that's why he started talking about our fathers in verse 1. Then verse 17, he said, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. That's why I've been saying it's time for the body of Christ, starting with us preachers, to all get on the same page. We should not be all talking the different things if we all got the same thing. Here we got the same spirit. And I'm talking about the Trinity. And somebody else talking about God is God all by himself. And the Son is the Son of Yah. And the Spirit is the Ruach, the breath of Yah. Why are one talking that about a Trinity and the other one is talking about there is no other God but one? And we all got the same bread, and we're all part of the same body. We got the same bread. We're partakers of one bread, partakers of one body. Why we all sounding different? Right now, the church, the so-called body of Christ, looks like a monster because it got all these heads and all these bodies. If Christ is the head, then the body should be following the head. And since Christ is that bread that we all partake of, and his blood is the drink that we all drink of, then we should all be manifesting the exact same, striving toward that same perfection. What is going on with us as the body? Verse 17 says, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel," verse 18, "after the flesh." Look at our nation after the flesh. "Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What I said then, that the Allah is anything, something that idolatry, they was idol worshiping, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything." He said, "But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils." All these people that you see that do these rituals and things like that nowadays, all these whatever you call them, Illuminati's, all this other stuff that you hear people and they be talking about Allah worshiping and Satan worshiping and all that, they worshiping the devils. They're sacrificing the devil. There's nothing in the thing that they're worshiping. It's just a piece of stone or a piece of wood or whatever. Ain't nothing to them, but when they worship those things, they are actually worshiping devils. Have encounters with them, just like we have encounters with y'all. Verse 21 says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of Yah, of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." It is letting us know that we can't do both. We can't be once saved, always saved, and living like the devil. That don't make no sense. Verse 22, it says, "Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" Verse 23 says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Now, what I like about what it starts to say in this verse here, I'm just trying to see where I may stop here, but I'll keep reading. It says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's." Well, but it's letting us know own will is associated with that. Okay. "Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." That's Psalms 24 and 1. Verse 26 is. "Say, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever sit before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake." Now, when you see people that read this, they start to now focus on, well, see, that scripture lets you know that as you continue to read things, that it'll bring a person to the mindset that, well, see, the scripture basically says you can eat anything. And if somebody sits something in front of you, you're supposed to eat it. No, you got to stay within the contextual meaning. in the contextual meaning, it's talking about idolatry. And so it's not talking about if somebody sits some pork before you eat it and don't ask questions. What it is saying is, if somebody sits some food before you, don't ask them if it's been offered to idol worshiping. And so you get people that get picky like that, and they start saying, "Well, okay, did you pray over this, or did you offer this to idols?" Or, you know, they start asking all these different questions. He said, don't ask for conscience sake. But wisdom, show me if you sit some pork chop on there. I know that's pork chops. I ain't going to say it. Well, eat whatever put in front of me for conscience sake. Because my conscience is going to be like, I ain't supposed to eat that. So we have to stay within the contextual meaning and know that these people were out of worshiping. And so he's saying now, because you Corinthians, you still do out of worshiping. If you ever get caught up in a situation where you go around a Corinthian or someone in this region and they offer you to come to dinner, you can't, with your understanding, go sit down and say, okay, did y'all clean this right? You can't go in a restaurant and say, did y'all get out of the blood, all the blood out of this steak?
You know, grease with the pork chop.
Yeah, there you go. You can't get caught up into those things for conscience sake, because that'll drive you crazy. That's what he's letting you know. You can't get caught up in all these different things, but at the same time, it is okay to make sure that you're not being offered something that you're not supposed to eat. But if they sit it in front of you, if it's beef, you can't say, well, did you cook? That's a good one. If it's beef, well, did you cook it beside the pork? Now, if they come to you and say, that's beef real, but we cooked them in pork juice. Now you got to say, nah, I can't do that. So understand that 1 Corinthians 10 is not saying that you can eat anything. Paul is letting us know through wisdom, there are some things that I do because of the level of my understanding, and I don't get caught up into the little petty stuff. Okay? If I see some bacon bits in my salad, I don't eat this. I'm sorry, ma'am. My sister Tanya and brother-in-law Virgil, we went to this restaurant, and man, it's a seafood place right here off of the harbor in Rockwall. Man, the food is excellent, man. I mean, it's some of the best redfish, you know, I've had. And so I got redfish and rice and some steamed vegetables, man. And I mean, it was good, but I kept looking. I kept looking because it's certain things that I don't know. And so it's amazing how y'all will allow things to happen to show an example. And so I'm sitting there, man. And this stuff is set up so nice and pretty, and I'm eating it, and everything is just seasoned just right. As a matter of fact, I got to go there pretty soon. Probably going to go again Saturday. But, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, this is really good. And all of a sudden, I said, man, I don't know what kind of rice this is, man. It looked like every time I eat some, it's like I get little pieces of meat. And I'm like, man, what is this meat? You know, now I'm getting wary. I'm like, man, what is this meat? I don't know what kind of meat they put in here. I said, but I didn't ask them, you know, do they put any kind of meat with their rice? And, you know, what kind, you know. And so now they put it in front of me and I'm eating it. And it's just little bitty pieces. And I'm like, wait a minute, I think this is meat. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know what kind of meat it is with this rice. Y'all spoke to me. He said, eat. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, well, okay, y'all, you know, I sure hope this is not some kind of sausage and this meat looks fine as sausage. I'm like, it's good as heck, though, but Lord, I hope it ain't look. He said, don't worry about it. He said, eat and enjoy yourself. Because he knew my heart. And he was saying, for conscience sake, just enjoy the meal and don't get caught up into what this is right now. This is not a time you already bought the stuff and you sitting here chomping down on it. You done swallowed half of it in here. You can't turn around and call away and say, excuse me, sir, is this a pork in these rice? He said, just eat it. Eat it for conscience sake. And so I ate it, and I still don't know what it is. And I don't care, but I know when I go back, I ain't going to order it no more. I'm going to order something else. I'm like, that's on me, y'all. Y'all said, that's okay, eat. I want you to finish it. That's what he's talking about. So y'all understands our hearts. So we can't go to these places and be like, you know, did you get all the blood out of the steak? Or how you kill your meat and how you do that? Was y'all back there worshiping the devil before y'all made my plate? We can't get caught up in all that. Okay. If you can't make out what it is, the scripture said just eat for conscience sake. Don't ask. But if somebody tell you, man, don't you like them pork and beans, you be like, oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I can't eat them. You just told me what they are. Okay? That's what that is referring to. It's not giving us a license to eat anything. It is in reference to idolatry. And things off of the idols that now sit before us and we eat. And we'll see this as we continue on with the scriptures now. Verse 27, it says, any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever sit before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say, see, it lets us know, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols. Has nothing to do with pork. Paul's not saying you can eat. If they put that pork chop in front of you, the Lord said everything's good for food. That ain't what Paul said. Paul is referring to idol worshiping. Because the Corinthians had a habit of doing that. Sacrificing to idols and then come offer it to you to eat. So he says in the text and let us know what he's specifically talking about. He said, eat not for his sake that showed it and for a conscience sake. In other words, when they do it, it's now time to teach them righteousness. I don't criticize Israelites who, when they sitting there eating their pork, I let them do it. But if they turn around and say, do you think I should eat this? Oh, trust me, I'm going to tell them for conscience sake. No, we as a people, we're not allowed to eat that. And I don't eat it. So I have to let them know for my conscience sake, and I have to let them know in order to educate them on our diet as a people. Okay? Verse 28, but if a man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I said, not thine own, but of the other. Okay? For why is my liberty a judge of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partakers, why am I evil spoken of? For that which I give thanks. Okay? He's saying, okay, if they put it before me and I don't know what it is, then you happen to know what it is, then don't turn around now and speak evil of me. You know, speak evil of me saying, see, look at it. He called himself an Israelite sitting over there eating that pork. Look at it. No, I didn't know. And you can't now take that circumstance and judge my heart. So just pointing it out, let us know. Okay? Like, you can't condemn a person for what they don't know. Then it says, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of Yah. Well, Yah told me, he said, boy, enjoy it. Your heart is right. You mean well. You don't know what it is. I ain't going to tell you what it is. I can tell you, and you ain't gonna ask them because you done already ate half of it. Finish it and do it to the glory of me. So I throw that stuff up. I got through with that plate. I handed it back to that man and wasn't nothing on it. And I told him, I said, I didn't like it. He said, I can tell. Verse 32 said, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of Yah. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And so, that's how we answer the question, once saved, always saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 makes it clear what the scripture reveals and what Yah intends and how He views it, okay? And so, so each day we just get up and we keep striving. And don't ever look at one event in your life to try to determine your salvation or the loss of your soul, okay? I'm not going to be saved based upon my actions yesterday. Neither am I going to hell based upon my actions yesterday. I work each day striving toward perfection. And when I get to the end of that road, wherever I be, that's the way it's going to be. And that's what I love about Yah. He always put us in position where we got a fighting chance. And I appreciate him for that. All right? I'm done. Any questions, comments? We good? Okay. I'll stop there then. Father Yah, we just bless your name for just revealing to us your word. We just kind of privileged to be your children and you loving us enough just to unseal the scriptures and you're just teaching us each time we sit down, and we thank you for that. We look forward to continue to learn and to grow and to be all that you call us to be for your glory. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.